Hello, everybody. This is Larry Goins. Welcome to the biweekly Q&A calls for Inner Circle students. And I want to let you know if this is your first time. I know we've had some new people sign up recently. If this is your first time, welcome to the call. These are Q&A calls. It's your chance to ask any kind of question you'd like about real estate, the market, what I'm doing, what you need to be doing, about a deal or anything else. And I just kind of keep it open. Unless we have somebody with a lot of background noise. So having said that, sounds pretty clear. So anybody want to jump in and have a question that you'd like to ask? I know we got a lot of people on here. I heard the count whenever I dialed in. So if you have any questions, feel free. I know some people like to just sit back and listen, but if you have any questions, feel free to jump right in.
Larry, this is Sandy Cox.
Hey, Sandy. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you.
I had a, at 906 Troglodyte Street in North Carolina, I had a buyer for that property. They signed a contract, got earnest money, and then we got ready to close last Thursday, and they backed out.
Okay. Was it a wholesale deal, or did you do a fix and flip?
No, it was a wholesale.
Okay, you were wholesaling it.
Yes.
Okay.
In the time between the time he signed the contract and we got ready to close the deal, this couple went to another realtor and got to her to show them some more houses, and he found, or they found, another house that they were more interested in, so they just went back to and called in and said they were not going to, weren't interested in the 906 Troglodyte Street address anymore, and that they were not going to buy it.
Okay.
And then, you know, after signing the contract and everything, do they have any obligations or that they have to sign, or would I be better off not to pursue anything to
What exactly are you asking me? Are you asking me if you can keep their deposit money or sue them to make them buy, or what are you asking?
I'm asking if there's any recourse to make them buy.
Okay.
That's what I'm asking. Would that be too much involvement, or would the lawyer make more than I would make? Or
well, here's the thing. It's ultimately going to depend on what is in your contract. And, you know, if it's in your contract that they have a due diligence period or they have a certain amount of time, you know, they could come back and say, hey, we just decided it's too much work or whatever the answer is. But if they have a due diligence period and they were within that period of making their decision, there's probably not a whole lot you can do about it. But if it was as is, where is, no warranties, no contingencies, and, you know, no inspection, none of that, then, you know, you could probably keep their deposit. But in the contract somewhere, you know, I'm sure it says something about what the remedy is for buyer default. And, you know, have you looked at your contract to see what it says?
Well, I glanced over it this afternoon, and they it says that I would get the earnest money.
Okay. And that's how much did they put up?
Sir?
How much money, earnest money, did they give you?
$500.
Okay. And are you buying the property from, where are you getting the property from?
Wendy and Bill.
Oh, okay.
Over there.
You bought it from them?
Yes.
Oh, okay. And it's, and what was the address of the property again?
906 Troglodyte.
906 Troglodyte, okay. Okay.
Wilkesboro.
Okay, in Wilkesboro.
Yes. And I asked Wendy about that today also, and she said that I'd be better off just to maybe try to rent it out or something, or try to get that interest rate down and then maybe rent it out. So.
Okay. How long have you owned the property?
About a year and a half.
Oh, okay, okay. I was thinking you must have just now got it or something, but you've owned it about a year and a half, and they did the loan for you. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Do you still have the loan with them?
Yes.
Okay. Well, maybe you can do one of a couple of things. Is the property in decent shape?
Yes, it's in pretty good shape right now.
Okay. Well, good. Has it been vacant ever since you've had it, or have you been renting it?
Yes, it has.
It's been vacant. And why do you think it hasn't sold?
Well, I went out there in May, and there was a lot of, there was a lot of things that I saw that was wrong. The painting was not correctly done. The rehabber that we had out there or working on it, he flew the cut. He went and got some money from the pot and took it and didn't go out there and work on my property. So I lost that part. And I went out there myself and looked in May, and I hired somebody else to do some work there on it. It needed to be cleaned up and more painting done and a few, odds and ends things that needed to be done. I replaced the dishwasher, replaced the microwave, and just did several things and spiffed it up a little bit. And it's still, I don't know why that thing is not, it's not moving, it's not selling.
How much do you have in the property?
Oh,
what's your loan balance?
Personally, last year was over $17,000. But that's all, that's not into the property. And I called the other day.
No, what is your loan balance?
I don't know. I tried to get that payoff the other day, and they wouldn't give it to me.
They wouldn't give it to you? That doesn't make sense.
Well, we were talking with the banker. The banker wanted to pay off, and they wanted to get the payoff, but all they wanted me to do was to have the bank to email them, and they would give him the payoff.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, so you're not sure what you owe on it?
No. I'm not.
So how do you know how much you could sell it for if you don't know how much you owe on it?
Well, I've went from $125,000 down to $99,000, and the realtor seems to think that I can probably get a little more than that out of it, and she's wanting to raise it back up to $106,000, I think, $106,900.
Right.
And
Well, here's a couple of things. First of all, you need to find out. First of all, you need to find out how much you owe on it.
Okay.
Because you don't know how much you can sell it for if you don't know how much you owe on it.
Okay.
Second thing is that you might be able to do is you might be able to refinance it and get a low interest rate and a lower payment, and then you could do like a lease option where you get somebody to put $5,000 or $10,000 down. And make payments to you, and you might also do a land contract as well. That way, you could get $5,000 or $10,000, or maybe even more if it's a $120,000 house, or $106,000 or $109,000 or whatever. If it's a $100,000 house, you might be able to get 10% or 15%, $10,000 or $15,000 down from somebody.
Okay.
Run you an ad that says, why rent when you can own? that, you know, I don't know the number of bedrooms and baths and all that, but you could say newly remodeled, nice, whatever, like three-bedroom, two-bath home, owner will finance for the preserving family with large down payment. And
oh,
see
okay.
what you get.
Okay. Okay, well, that's a area that I can, I was trying to refinance when these buyers came by to so I could do a lease option. And when these people, you know, put a down payment down, the $500 down, I just assumed that, well, we all assumed that they were going to buy the property, and I stopped the refinance process
yeah.
at that time.
Now, is it still listed with the realtor?
Yes.
Well, if you do your own lease
option. Do I
need
to change that or
well,
what?
If you're doing your own lease, if you're doing a lease option or you're going to do a land contract, you don't need the agent.
Okay.
You don't want the agent taking all your money as commission, do you?
Well, no.
Because if they get 6% and you get $10,000 down, that's 6,000 out of 10. You know,
ooh.
You don't want that. Now, if your seller financing it, you might be able to put it on the market for $129.9, you know, $119.9, $129.9, $139.9. Because people with seller financing that are getting, you know, like doing a land contract or lease option or seller financing, you know, they're interested in how much down and how much a month. The price is not as important to them. And you could get top dollar on your price.
Okay. I will look
good.
At that.
Well, I hope that helps.
Well, yeah, that's good information. I appreciate it.
Well, good. I'm glad I can help you. Keep me updated and let me know how it goes, okay?
I will.
Excellent. Well, good.
Okay.
Well, anybody else have a question you want to throw out?
Yeah, I've got a question.
Sure, who's there?
This is Don.
Hey, Don, how you been?
Oh, okay. It's been a crazy couple of weeks. I'm wholesaling a deal, and I need more advice or better advice or some advice on how to stay in control of the whole thing. I thought that the documents that I had would help me. The contract for assignment says that it can't be reassigned.
Uh-huh.
I was keeping track of the people that I was dealing with. But I
when you say, hold on for a second, Don. You say I was keeping track of the people I was dealing with. Are you talking about the buyer or the seller or a realtor or what?
Potential buyers.
Okay.
I've got the property under contract from an individual owner.
Okay. Now, hold on. Is the property vacant or does the owner live in it?
It's vacant.
I'm sorry?
Vacant.
It's vacant. Okay.
Yeah. No. Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So, I have it under contract. Put it out there, publicized it in different ways on Craigslist, on a number of different websites.
Right.
Got some interest, some apparent interest. Everyone calling up saying that they were interested, but their partners would have to see it. Okay. I've run into a couple of situations, and this isn't sort of the heart of the question. But the person who I initially am dealing with, who represents himself as the buyer with partners.
The buyer with what?
With partners.
With apartments?
No, partners.
Oh, partners. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Says, you know, so I'm dealing with, let's say, person A, who says, yes, I'm interested in it. I just have to get my partner's approval. It turns out that person A is only scouting property, sends them to the West Coast, sends send the property information to other people who apparently actually purchase it.
Right.
I'm losing control of it that way because I don't know really who I'm dealing with. I'll be dealing with supposed purchaser A, and then I get a call from person B, 2,000 miles away, who is talking about the same property, and I'm trying to piece it together. My assignment contract says that it can't be assigned. I find that people are ignoring this. I mean, simply ignoring it.
Are you telling me your potential buyer, your initial contact A and his partners in California, they are wanting to buy it to reassign it?
Yes.
They aren't your buyers.
Except not even to buy it. I mean, they simply want to reassign the contract.
Yeah, and how do you know that they're trying to reassign it?
Because I got an email from buyer A and buyer B saying, okay, we plan on reassigning your contract to buyer C. That's how I know. And in fact, I happen to know buyer C, and I called buyer C up and I said, hey, you know, I'm not trying to undercut your deal, but I'm trying to figure out what's going on. So that was part of the issue. The other part of the issue that I'm running into, and it's with these same folks, but ties back into losing control over the whole situation, is that there was supposed to be a $2,500 earnest money deposit in order to secure the assignment, the
right.
remainder due at closing.
Or secure the contract from you.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, correct.
But they, let me guess, they haven't given you that money yet.
Right, exactly. Over and over and over again. Oh, well, yeah, we don't know what the problem is. We'll check with our bank. We'll do this. As after talking to party C, buyer C, who I do know, it appears that their intent was to take the earnest deposit money from party C, get it into their account, and then send it over to me, if anything. I mean, I'm not sure what their intent at all was regarding money.
Okay, here's the deal. Okay?
Yeah.
I have seen deals like this happen before. Okay? I've had people try to do deals like this with me.
Okay.
And I hate to tell you this, but A and B, they don't have any money. Okay?
Right.
Especially A. A is a wannabe investor who thinks he's found somebody that he can source deals for that has a big pot of money. Partners, you know, money partners, all that, and he's playing the role. Yeah, I'm part of a conglomerate, and we have partners out on the West Coast, and you know, all this BS. Really, I hate to say that, but that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And they're just jerking you around.
Yeah.
So what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to send both of them an email or a fax or something, and say, as of today, we do not have a contract because, number one, I don't have consideration, and number two, you're telling me you want to assign the contract, and it's clearly non-assignable. So as of today, consider this deal null and void,
okay.
As we had never had a deal because I've never had consideration, which is the $2,500 earnest money.
Right.
So then you're washing your hands free of them and go sell the house to the guy you already know.
Yeah, that's the plan, yes.
Now, just to keep things simple, okay?
Yeah.
Does A and B know that you know C and that you've talked to C?
No.
Okay.
I've simply seen C's name. I said, oh, well, I know.
Well, here's what you do. Don't even say anything about it, okay? just do your thing, you know, send them an email saying, you know, I've never received consideration, and you're telling me you want to sign the contract. The contract is non-assignable, as it clearly states, and I've never received the deposit, so we've never had a contract, so consider everything null and void.
Okay.
And you can even say, and I'm going in a different direction. You know, you can, you know, or I've decided not to sell, or whatever you want to tell him. It doesn't really matter. And tell your C guy, you know, just to keep his mouth shut too, and then you just sell the house to him. Because
right.
You got no obligation to A and B.
No.
All they're really doing is jerking you around and wasting your time.
Right.
That's it.
Okay.
That's my personal opinion. If you would like, what you could do is consult a local real estate attorney just to verify what I've told you and make sure that you have no obligation to them, because I wouldn't want to personally tell you something and then they come back and say, I'm going to sue you for specific performance and make you sell it to me.
Right.
Well, number one, they're probably not going to do that anyway because they want to assign the contract and they're not going to come out of pocket because they probably don't have the money to come out of pocket with.
Right.
So they're not going to do it anyway if the contract's non-assignable. But they might threaten you and they might say so, but they're not going to. But just for your own peace of mind, instead of saying, Larry told me to do this, you know, you could ask your own attorney if you'd like.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will do that.
I hope that helped.
Oh, yes, it does. Great.
Good. But let me tell you something, Don. Don't let people jerk you around like that. When I hear something,
how do I prevent that in the future? I mean,
I'll tell you exactly how to do it. I'll tell you exactly how to do it. When after you've been doing this a while, your radar goes up, okay, about stuff like that. Anytime I hear somebody say, "I've got partners, I got to talk with my partners, I've got this, we've got a money people, we got backing us up, we have backers, a conglomerate, all this, whatever it is," the very first question out of my mouth is, "How many deals have you closed?" Yeah, and if you hear something like, "Well, I just started working with these guys, and they've been doing a lot of business," well, how many deals have you personally closed?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's, I mean, if they can't answer that question, and if it's anything other than a number, then I would run away from them.
Okay.
Yeah, because there's people out there that will try to jerk you around like that. Yeah, don't let them waste your time.
Okay.
There you go. I hope that helps.
It helps greatly, yeah.
Good. Hey, keep me up to date and let me know what happens.
I will do that, I promise.
Yeah, do that. Shoot me an email and let me know how it goes.
Okay.
And let me know what your attorney says, too.
Okay, yeah.
Cool. That's good. That was a really good, interesting situation there. I'm glad you brought that up.
Thank you.
Sure. Anybody else have a question you want to throw out? Had some good ones so far tonight. Anybody else got one? Anybody got anything you need to talk about? Want to ask me what I'm doing on anything?
Well, okay, what are you doing? What are you up to?
That's good. We're buying HUD houses, a lot of them. And we're also doing some seller deals where we have created about 1,500 leads from our Bandit Sign campaign over the last several months. And we've only done a few deals that were wholesale deals, but we've had a lot of deals where the people owe a lot of money, nice houses, nice neighborhoods, and they just want out from under the mortgage. So we're starting to go back and negotiate with those people, and we just started doing this in the last couple weeks. And we've got five deals. One of them we've already got a contract back on, where we're buying a house for, all we're going to do is give them $2,500 and buy it subject to and take over their loan. I say take over. We're just going to make their payments on their loan.
Right.
And then we're going to go sell it for $199,000 and get, you know, $10,000 or $20,000 down. And then I think our payment to the seller's mortgage company is $700, and we can rent it out or do like a lease option or a land contract for around $1,200. So we're going to start doing some of those deals and see how it goes, because I hate to waste leads. And we got about 1,500 leads sitting in Podio that we can't do anything with. So we started talking about it, and we're going to start working those and see what we can do. So that's kind of what we're doing on that end. And on the other end is we're expanding our HUD business into other states. Right now we are in North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, Alabama, Tennessee, and we just started another 7 states. We're only making about 10 or 15 bids a day just to make sure that all of our systems are working, our spreadsheets, you know, our analyzing and all that is working. And in the next couple of weeks, we're going to release it full-fledged. And then we'll be making about 1,600 offers a day on HUD houses. And what we have found is our one little virtual assistant in the Philippines can't keep up, because it takes her about 45 seconds to a minute and a half to make a bid on a HUD house. And at 1,600 a day, it would take her 40 hours a day to make those bids. So I told Paul and Randolph today, I said, if we can get her down to 18 seconds per bid, she could get them all in. But so we're going to have to hire a couple of extra VAs to start putting in all the bids. But 1,600 is quite a bit. But we're also starting off very, very low. So if we get a deal, it's going to be a really good deal. But our goal is just to get, if we could just get 2 houses per month in each state, and by the end of the year, we're going to be in 16 states. If we could just get 2 houses per month in 16 states, that's 32 houses a month. That's not a bad month. And if we could just do that. So that's our goal. That's what we're working for, and that's what our plans are.
Larry, this is Sharon.
Hey, Sharon, how are you?
I'm excellent. I am going to be at your office next week with the Inner Circle.
Yeah.
Are you going to discuss the HUD, how to do that?
I am going to discuss the HUD. We are going to talk about that, and we're going to show you some things. We're going to show you some things that we're doing, as well as many, many, many other things as well. But we are going to go over what we're doing with the HUD.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, excellent. Now, another question. I hear land contract, but I don't really understand that. What is the difference between a land contract and just putting a house under contract?
Okay, what a land contract is, it's really a type of seller financing. Like if I sold you a house with seller financing,
uh-huh.
I would deed the house to you, and I would take back a mortgage.
Oh.
And now if I needed to get that, if you quit paying, I would have to foreclose.
Okay.
With a land contract, the house remains in my name, and we write up a contract that's basically a contract for you to purchase the property, but
uh-huh.
the contract states out the terms that says you're purchasing the property, and you're giving me X amount of money down and X
mm-hmm.
amount of money per month, and after X number of months, it will be free. It will be paid for, and then I will deed it to you.
Oh, okay. So it's a little different from doing a subject to.
Yeah, well, subject to is when you're buying a property and you're leaving the bank mortgage in the seller's
name
and all
in
that.
Place,
yeah,
right.
You're buying a
okay.
subject to that mortgage. Another name for land contract is contract for deed. You might have heard that term before.
I have.
Yeah, and that's another name for a land contract. But you could do, you know, land contract, lease option, seller finance. Another word for it is kind of rent to own.
Okay.
Another term for that. You know, the property remains in the seller's name until the buyer gets it paid in full, and then the seller deeds it over to the buyer.
Right. Okay. I need to understand it. That was a new term for me.
Yeah, that's okay. Another thing you could do is Google it, and there's a lot of different kind of definitions, Wikipedia and stuff like that out there. It'll help you get a better grasp of it.
Okay. All right.
Awesome. I hope that helps. Now,
another thing, I sent you a payment today. Let me know when you get it, so I know that you got it in time for the class.
Was that for Inner Circle?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't handle any of that stuff. You can call in the office and talk with customer service, or you know, or who are you working with? In our
Ron.
You could call Ron and tell him to let you know, or email him.
Okay.
That would be great.
I don't have Ron's email address.
Do
all you guys have a email that ends in the Goins Group or something like that?
Yeah. It's. Let me see here if I can find it. Ron.
I know this is not what the call about, but you said whatever. Anybody got any questions? Nobody else is saying anything.
Yeah, I believe it's ron@larrygoins.com, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would do that.
Yeah.
I'm writing that down now.
Yeah. Or you could always email customerservice@larrygoins.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Cool.
Okay.
I hope that helped.
It does. And I thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's my pleasure. Looking forward to seeing you next week.
Likewise.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun.
I just hope we have good weather.
Oh, I know. I know. Well, of course, it's been raining forever over here, so hopefully the rain is almost gone. Yeah. Anybody else have a question you want to throw out? Anybody got a question about anything, a deal, what you're doing, what we're doing, problem, challenge, opportunity, in disguise, anything? That's what I call problems, opportunities in disguise. All right, going once. Going twice. All right, guys, I really appreciate you being on. Just know that you can always email me or call me anytime in between, larry@larrygoins.com. Put Inner Circle in the subject line, and as always, I really, really appreciate your business. Stay in touch with me. Let me know how it's going. If you have any problems or challenges or questions or anything, we are here for you, and we want to help you. So with that, no more questions. I really appreciate your business and appreciate you being on here. And I hope all you guys have an awesome night. And thanks for being on tonight.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.